part. Get down to the good part. Some of you. Amen. The word is always, I don't care how much singing we do. Amen. The preaching. Amen. Always needs to be the highlight. Amen. I don't care how this fella plays his organ over here. The highlight has to be the word of God. Amen. 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 With this man of God that, amen, that is, amen, prepared to bless us tonight. Amen. Needs no introduction. Amen. He needs no introduction at all. Amen. Pastor Bertrand Maurice Bailey Jr. Amen. Amen. We all know. Amen. He's a proud pastor of the Bible Way Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. And I believe the Lord has also blessed him, amen, to pastor another church. Amen. Amen. And he'll explain all that later if he wants to. Amen. I met Pastor Bailey several years ago, fresh out of college. Didn't know if I wanted to pursue, amen, a career in the field that I was chosen to choose a career in, or if I wanted to just kind of hang out and be a thug, a gangster, or something. That seemed like, you know, the guys that were really getting ahead in life. Amen. But right out of college, amen, I attended a revival that Pastor Bailey was preaching. Amen. And it forever changed my life. Amen. See, I grew up in church. Amen. Knew how to talk church talk. Knew how to walk church walk. Knew how to dress church dress. Amen. But after attending that revival and listening to Pastor Bailey, it changed me forever. And I thank God that the Lord was working through him. Amen. And that he reached a young man like me at that particular time. Now, little did I know that he would be my pastor. Amen. At some point. Amen. He was my pastor for three long years. Three blessed years. Amen. And I tell you, we had a 3-year revival. Amen. And I will forever be indebted to him and what he poured into my life. Amen. I look on my wall back there in the study, and he ordained me as a deacon at Baptist Hill Baptist Church. Amen. And I just thank God for him. Amen. This is one of God's greatest preachers. Amen. Alive right now. And I'll be honest with you, he's my favorite preacher. Amen. Some of y'all got a favorite basketball player. I have a favorite preacher. And it's Pastor Bailey. Amen. And the Orange Chapel family is just excited to have him with us on tonight. Amen. And when I hand him this, you know, this, I guess I'm running the third leg. Amen. But the last leg, amen, we about to pass it. It's track season, isn't it? Amen. He's running an ankle leg tonight. He going to bring this thing on home. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet, amen, and just put your hands together. Amen. And just give Pastor Bailey a Northeast Texas, amen, round of applause. Amen.
Amen. Will you help me worship God just for a few minutes again? Stand on your feet one more time. Just
Lord, yeah. Thank you, Lord. It's already getting better. It's already getting easier. God's already moving on my behalf. It's already getting better. It's already getting easier. God's already moving on my behalf. Tell your neighbor, it's already getting better. It's already getting easier. God's already moving on my behalf. One more time, say, it's already getting better. it's already getting easier. God's already moving on my behalf. He did it for me. He did it for me. He did it for me. God did it. He did it. Yes, he did it for me. Let me hear you say, he did it for me. He did it for me. God did it. He did it. Yes, he did it. And it's already getting better. It's already getting easier. God's already moving on my behalf. Let me hear the church say, it's already getting better. It's already getting easier. God's already moving on my behalf. One more time, tell you, baby. It's already getting better. It's already getting easier. God's already moving on my behalf. He did it for me. He did it for me.
I'm going to give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, they've come to see you. They've come to hear from you. They've come for a word from you. They've come for a touch from you. So just use your boy as an instrument that we may know what you would have us to know. And then, Lord, help us do all that you have called us to do. When it's all said and done, we pray that the lost will come to you. And we pray that your church will be more like you. We pray that you get all the glory, that you get all the honor. For you alone are worthy of all praise. Have your way. In the saving name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen. Come on, let's give it up one more time for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then give the person next to you a tight squeeze. And just tell them, I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad you're sitting by me. Amen to the angel of this house. Amen, my brother beloved, Pastor McGuire. Amen, Shannon McGuire. Amen, what a pastor. Amen, what a preacher. What a husband, what a friend, what a brother. Amen, this church is so blessed to have an awesome pastor. Amen to, amen, praise God. Amen. To know him is to love him. Amen. And I am so proud of him, what he is allowing God to do in him and through him. Amen. For God's glory. Amen. And then this church has an awesome first lady. Amen. Sister McGuire. Amen. Amen. Just a beautiful spirit. Amen. And they're beautiful children. Amen. And then he's blessed to have his parents here with him. Amen. The McGuires. God bless you. Amen. I got a chance to pastor the McGuire family. And I was so honored during those 3 years. Thank you all so much for receiving me as one of your own. Amen. Amen. Minister Braxton, so good to see you. Amen. I'm so honored. Amen. These pastors in Northeast Texas have been good to me. Amen. Pastor Owens, thank God for him. Pastor Washington, Pastor Perry, amen. Pastor Alberti, and Pastor Yates, my good friend and brother, amen. Thank God for you. And Pastor Mays, amen, who I've known for 18 years, amen. Thank God for you, brother. You're looking good, man. And amen. Pastor Slaughter, amen, what an awesome preacher. Amen. This choir has done a beautiful job. Then this church has an awesome musician. Amen. Amen. He has, hallelujah, amen. He has such a beautiful spirit. Amen. And I thank God for him. And then to see these youngins grow up, as grandmama say, amen, on the drums. Good God Almighty. Mia, God bless you. Amen. To see God using this whole family is just awesome. It inspires us looking good. Amen. I hope he'll let me preach tonight. Amen. You know, he get on that organ and just lose it. Amen. And then, amen. Then members from Solid Rock. Amen. Rock, I love you all so much. I love you all so much. Thank God for you. Amen. All of Paris, amen, and this wonderful city, Arthur City, thank you all for receiving me. Every night, I need you to bring your Bibles, bring paper, amen, bring pen, amen. Amen. There's a word in Acts 9. Amen. Thank God for Greater Bible Way. Y'all stand. Greater Bible Way is here. Amen. Thank God for Greater Bible Way. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you so much. Sister Willie May is related to the McGuires. Amen. It hit me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And to Baptist Hill. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Acts 9, verse 31. then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was edified or strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. I want to talk about the evidence of a healthy church. Amen. Repeat after me. The evidence of a healthy church. Amen. Amen. The evidence of a healthy church. The evidence of a healthy church. Oftimes we hear of crime and scandal in the church. More often we hear people complain and give reasons why not to attend church. A tremendous focus is placed on the problems of the church. And let's just go on and get it out of our system. The church has problems. Look at your neighbor and tell them the church has problems. The church has problems. The church has problems. And I can tell you why the church has problems. The church has problems because the church has people. Wherever you have people, you're going to have some problems. Matter of fact, you can't separate the two. People and problems come together. There's no such thing as a perfect church. And if you happen to find a perfect church, don't you join it. Because you're not perfect, and you're going to mess that church up. You got to understand where you are. This is a hospital. The church where you attend is a hospital. And just like any other hospital, when you go to a hospital, you're not surprised to see sick people. Matter of fact, when you go to a hospital, you expect to see sick people, hopefully getting better. And when you come here, you ought not be surprised to see some sick people. Matter of fact, when you go to church, you ought to expect to see some sick people, hopefully getting better. You might smell weed in here. You might smell alcohol in here. Some folks' eyes is mighty red. Ain't because they sleepy. They done hit one before they came here. This is a hospital. And I need to tell you, not all sicknesses are physical. Some people are mentally ill. And if the truth be told, all of us in here are somewhat of a schizophrenic personality. Yeah, all of us in here are a little bit schizo. Look at your neighbor and say, I knew something was wrong with you. I knew something was wrong with you. I knew it. One minute you want to speak, next minute you don't want to speak. When you're by yourself, I'm your friend. When you're with your girls, you act like you don't know me. One minute you're winking your eye at me. Next minute you're rolling your eyes at me. Who are you today? All of us in here are somewhat of a schizophrenic personality, which means we're all tragically divided against ourselves. There's a war that's going on inside of all of us. It causes us to lament or cry with Ovid, the Latin poet, who said, I see and approve of better things, but I follow worse. This war that rages inside of us causes us to agree with Plato, who says that the human personality is like a charioteer being pulled by two headstrong horses in different directions. This war that rages inside of all of us causes us to repeat with the Apostle Paul, who said, the good which I would,
I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. He said, it's not me that do it, it's sin that dwelleth in me. To will with me is present, but how to perform, I can't find. I want to do better. I just can't seem to do better. I want to get it right. I just can't seem to get it right. Then he hollered out, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? In other words, he said, who will deliver me from me? Sometimes you need to be delivered from your own self. Sometimes you need to be rescued from you. This is a hospital. And can I tell you something else? Not everybody in the hospital is getting better. Some are getting worse. Some are terminally ill. And don't you fool yourself. Not everybody in this hospital is getting better. Some folk lying, talking about things I used to do, I don't do no more. No, you just don't do it on this side of time. Some of it, you're doing more of it now. Stuff used to make me mad, but it's still making you mad. It's a hospital. So I don't want you leaving the church because you saw somebody sick. When you spoke to that woman and she didn't speak back, she's sick, baby. She's sick. Leave her alone. She in the right place. When they just roll their eyes at you, that's a sickness. When the pupil disappear, when the black in the eye disappear, that's a sickness. But they in the right place. Look at your neighbor and say, leave them alone. They in the right place. Listen, y'all. When God told Noah to build that ark, it was not comfortable in that ark. You had all kind of crap in that ark. You had big crap in that ark. You had little crap in that ark. You had elephants in there. That ark stank. Do you hear me? You had peacocks in there strutting around like they was all that. You had snakes in there. You had birds dropping poop on folks' heads. You had lions roaring at folk in there. You had wolves growling at folk in there. You had monkeys in there that wouldn't sit down and shut up. But in order to be saved, you had to be in there with them monkeys. You had to be in there with them snakes. You had to be in there with them peacocks, them elephants. Hello, somebody. I'm trying to tell you, we got some monkeys in here that won't sit down and shut up. We got some snakes in here. We got some birds dropping poop on folk. Hello, somebody. We got some wolves in here growling at folk. But in order to be saved, you got to put up with some monkeys. You got to put up with some snakes. Hello, somebody. Why you quitting the choir because you saw a snake? Get back up in that choir. Hello, somebody. Why you quitting because a monkey came across your path? Look at your neighbor and say, toughen up. You a child of God. You need to toughen up. In order for Noah and his family to be saved, they had to put up. Church got problems. But tonight I want to show you a picture of a church that was doing it right. Acts 9 verse 31. This is a picture of a church that was doing it right. You find in this verse, don't miss this church, five evidences of a healthy church. Just in that one verse, you have five evidences of a healthy church. The first evidence of a healthy church, look at the text, is a climate of peace. Look at the text. It says, then they enjoyed a time of peace. A healthy church, you will have a climate of peace. It said then. Underline the word then. It said then. The context of the verse is the conversion of Saul, which resulted in a decrease of persecution on that church. It's amazing how one man can cause the church so much hell. But when that one man was converted, then they enjoyed a time of peace. But I need to tell you that peace involves much more than the absence of persecution. Because a church can be enjoying peace outwardly, but not inwardly. Peace involves the absence of conflict, both outwardly and inwardly, and the presence of harmony. See, all of us are keys on God's divine keyboard, but we ain't all working together. This is how the church is sounding. Because there's no peace, there's no harmony. And this is why a lot of people don't come to church, because we sound a hot mess. And the reason why we sound a hot mess is because the wrong person is playing us. The devil is playing us. The devil is in to divide and conquer. He's separating us. And he's breaking us. Divide and conquer. Because we're not together, he's breaking the church. He's breaking us financially. He's breaking us socially. But if we are bound together, I wish I had a witness, and he can't break us when we're tight with one another. He may drop us, but we're still together. He may throw us, but we're still together, because we're bound together by love.
The devil has the church fighting each other. But ain't nobody in the church fighting him.
Because we haven't identified who the enemy really is. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, so why are you fighting her? Even on my way here, God ran past us and gave us the finger. I had to remind ourselves, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That flesh started to rise up in me, and let's follow him. Follow him. Follow him. Follow him. See, that's the trick of the devil. To get us to fight each other. But ain't nobody fighting him. I've been in church 39 years. I'm going to turn 40 June 4th. But I've been in church 39 years. I've heard all kind of motions. I've heard motions to put pastors out to church. I've heard motions to put preachers out. I've heard motions to put deacons out to church. I've heard motions to put choir members out to church. I've heard motions to put mothers out to church. I've heard motions to put fathers out to church. But in 39 years, I've never heard a motion to put the devil out to church. And some of y'all have been in church longer than I have and have never heard that motion. I hope I ain't out of order, but Pastor, I want to make a motion tonight that we put the devil out of this church. Can I get somebody to second my motion? It's been moved and second. Y'all ready for question? All those in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Opposers, leave with him. See, we got to get to the root of the problem. Well, they did a test on mental patients back in the day to see if they were ready to go home. They would do a test. And one of the tests they were doing on mental patients is they would stop up the sink and they would run the water and let the water build up and keep running onto the floor and let it keep running onto the floor. Then they would go get the mental patient and give him a mop and bring him into the restroom and say, clean that up. Now, if he just went in and started while the water's still running onto the floor, It was a sign he ain't ready to go home. He ain't ready. He ain't ready. But if they brought him in and he saw the mess down here and connected it to the sink and unstopped the sink and cut the water off and then started mopping, it was a sign he might be ready to go home because he got to the root of the problem. Y'all ain't praying with me here. What you saying, baby? I'm saying some of us ain't ready to go home because you ain't got to the root of the problem. Hello, somebody. The devil. Enjoy the time of peace. Write this down. A church that is full of division will never see multiplication, but only subtraction. A church that is full of division will never see multiplication, but only subtraction. A climate of peace naturally produces an atmosphere of unity. A climate of peace naturally produces an atmosphere of unity. People catch enough hell out there. Amen. They want to be able to come to a place and just find some peace.
Yes, sir.
And watch this. One way people know you are a child of God is you are about peace. Matthew 5, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. One way people know you are a child of God is you are about peace. And what's wrong in the church? We have too many peace breakers and not enough peacemakers. And some of us ought to be arrested tonight for disturbing the peace. If you're gossiping, you're disturbing the peace. If you backbiting, you're disturbing the peace. If you dogging folk on Facebook, you're disturbing the peace. Hello, somebody. If you hating, you're disturbing the peace. Look at somebody and say, quit disturbing the peace. If you are a Christian, you ought to be about peace because Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And so if you are a Christian, which means Christ-like, you ought to be about peace. Another word for a police officer is a peace officer. And honestly, I feel comfortable when they're around. I don't expect nothing to pop off long as they're around. I can eat in peace. I can do my business in peace because they right there. They've been sworn in to bring about peace. They've been authorized to bring about peace. They've been equipped to bring about peace. And you know what else? They blessed because they bring about peace. They get free donuts. Free coffee, free meals. Some of them get free rent. They just want to be able to say, we got a police officer that live over here. Bailey, what are you saying? I'm saying we need more than church officers. We got enough of them. We need more peace officers. And all of y'all qualify to be a peace officer. I may not be a chairman, but I'm a peace officer. Hello, somebody. And you ought to be bringing about peace. And you will be blessed. Because you are about peace. And that's what's keeping a lot of people out of the church. A lack of peace. Watch this. You see somebody with their shoestring untied, you're gonna tell them, hey man, your shoestring not together. Tie that up, man. Tie that up, Dad. Why you tell them to tie that up? Because by that shoestring not being together, it can cause the whole body to trip.
Just by the shoestring not being together, it can cause the whole body to fall. It can cause the whole body to go down. What are you saying, Ben? I'm saying when you see relationships in the church coming untied, y'all need to tie that up. Because this affects more than just y'all. It can cause this whole body to trip. Y'all need to tie that up. It can cause this whole body to fall. Y'all deacons need to tie that up. Y'all members need to tie that up. Y'all need to fix that. Don't let the sun go down on that. Tie that up. If you have aught with your brother, tie it up. Because this affects more than just you all. It can hurt this whole body. It can cause this whole body to fall. Did it together. Can I show y'all something? Can I show y'all why peace and unity is so important? Go to John 17. Let me show it to you real fast. Here it is, spies. Let me show it. John 17. Verse 20. He prayed for you all right here in all the city. John 17, verse 20. This is why unity and peace is so important. Are y'all there? Look what Jesus said. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those in off the city and Paris. Y'all see y'all self in here? I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. Here it is. So that the world may believe that you sent me. He said, Father, I pray they be one, just like I am in you, you are in me, that the world will believe. That the world will believe. That the world will believe that you sent me. Which means, Father, if they are not one, the world is not going to believe in me. If they are not one, it's going to hinder salvation. If they are not one, more people are going to go to hell. Father, I need them to be one so the world will believe. Which means division is hindering salvation. That's why we have more funerals than baptisms. The hindrance to salvation in the world may not be the sinfulness of the world. It may be the disunity of the church. If Jesus prayed for it, we ought to be praying for it. And we ought to be striving for it. Because the only way people are going to be saved, we have to be one. And so, the first evidence of a healthy church is a climate of peace. It's wonderful when people say, I enjoyed Jesus today. But it's also beautiful when they say, I enjoyed y'all. I enjoyed the family of God. The second evidence of a healthy church, write this down, is... Go back to Acts 9. Is consistent spiritual growth. The second evidence of a healthy church is consistent spiritual growth. Notice it says, and were edified. Write this down. That word edified means, it literally means to build a house. But it's referring to us, the household of God. In other words, a healthy church will be blossoming with spiritual growth in the members. Now, in order to grow spiritually, write this down. In order to grow spiritually, you need two things. You need spiritual food, and you also need spiritual exercise. Write this down. Spiritual food, that's a regular intake of the Word of God. Spiritual exercise is your ministry. It's what you're doing for God. Spiritual food is a regular intake of the Word of God. Spiritual exercise is your ministry. It's your acts of service. God did not save you just to sit down. One of my members played basketball, invited others to come see her play basketball. She didn't get no games. She was on the bench crying. Mama got mad, and she was on the bench crying. I told her mother, I wish I had more members like her. And she ain't comfortable on the bench. She want to be in the game. But it seems like we have a lot of members, y'all comfortable on that bench.
Matter of fact, y'all done cushioned the bench up a little bit. Hello, somebody. Y'all done made the bench more softer. Oh. Church has become a place of enjoyment now. That's why I got to correct some of these welcomes. They can say, y'all just sit back and relax. Hell no, you sit back and relax. This ain't no cruise ship. This is a battleship. Kick off your shoes. Relax. No. We didn't come in to be entertained. I'm sorry. That's why I can't stand folk coming to me after service. I really enjoyed the service. We ain't here for your enjoyment. Hello, somebody. That's what's wrong with many of us here. Many of us come to receive. We don't come to give. That's what's wrong. Now watch this. If somebody came to your house all the time just to receive, you'd quit answering the door, wouldn't you? I'm looking at you, oh Lord, no, don't answer that. Don't answer that. He always wants something. And that's how we do God's house. Many of us come here just to receive. Look at you. You ain't putting nothing in yourself. You ain't clapping your hands. You ain't even not. I'm wondering if you alive or not. Because everybody with their eyes open ain't alive. I'm hoping you'll blink. You ain't worshiping God. You ain't clap. Consistent spiritual growth. You know what? It's a call to discipleship. That's another reason why the churches are not growing. It's a call to discipleship. Do you know what discipleship is? Discipleship is the developmental process. Buy the CD on this one. Discipleship is a developmental process of the local church that takes Christians from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity so that they'll reproduce the process all over again in somebody else's life. Baby, what are you saying? I'm saying when my child Trey was born into my family, I shouted, woo, you got a boy. Woo, yes, got a boy. Praise God. Woo, that's my son. Woo, woo. I passed out bubblegum cigars. Woo, got a boy. Woo, woo. I was shouting, woo, because he was born into the family. Woo, but that was just the start. Now it's time to see that he develops in the family. He wouldn't take Similac. The only way he's going to grow, he's going to have to take something. He took Infamil. He taking it, Doc. Now he can start growing. He kept growing. And then even while he was drinking that bottle, after a couple of months, he would be crying and drinking. Ah! Ah! I said, what's wrong with this boy? Ah! Ah! I took him back to the doctor. He's crying and drinking the bottle. He said, sir, you have to understand he's growing. You need to make the hole bigger. He wants more of it now. He wants it faster now. That's why he's crying. He wants, hello somebody. Somebody here is crying. I want more of the word now. I want more. That's why I came to this revival. I want more. I want some more. Then after a while, his little finger started going up there around that bottle. He started trying to feed himself. I said, look at you. He's trying to get it for himself. After a while, he got that bottle down, went to Gerber food. Oh, look at him. That's why he started reaching for that spoon. He's trying to feed himself. He patted it in his eye, but he was trying. He was making a mess out of it, but he trying. A little bit got in now. He got the eating thing down. He started scooting a little bit, trying to get somewhere, crawling. All right. Then he started standing a little bit. Okay, son. He fall down. I didn't talk about him while he was down there because falling is a part of growing too. Hello, somebody. I didn't kick him while he was down. I didn't put it on Facebook that he fell. Hello, son. I didn't Twitter nobody. He fell. I just picked him back up. Started walking. Oh, he falling. I picked him back up. He got walking down. That's good, baby. That's good. Went to preschool. Keep going, baby. He developing the family now. Kindergarten. Cool. First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade. Go, Trey. 10th grade. Go. Now he's in 11th grade. Woo! Keep going, boy. He's going to be in the 12th grade next year. Woo! He's going to go. Then he's going to go off to college. I'm going to cry. Woo! He's going to keep going. And then he freshman year. Woo! Sophomore year of college. Keep going, Trey. Junior year. Woo! Senior year. Woo! Then he's going to come back for Thanksgiving, but he ain't going to be by himself. There's going to be a girl in the car with him. Whoa! Whoa, son. And then he gonna introduce, hey daddy, this is Mary. No, this is Martha. I can't use Mary. I can't use Mary. This is Martha. This is Martha. Some of y'all so holy, y'all can't even laugh. That was funny. I'm going to start to think you ain't got no teeth. Say, daddy, she's a Christian. And daddy, she has my heart. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm going to meet her. She's going to say, hi, Pastor Bailey. Praise God. Good to meet you. Praise God. No. Wow. Wow. And then he's going to call me. After so many months, I said, daddy, I want a hand in marriage. Woo! And then they're going to get married. Woo! Then after 6 months, he's going to call. He's going to say, hey, granddaddy. Somebody said, 6 months. Okay, 2 months. He goes, hey, granddaddy. See, now he's reproducing the process all over again. Now the Bailey family is growing because he has matured to that level. Now he's reproducing. See, one reason why the churches are not growing is for lack of disciples. See, when you start growing in Christ, hello, somebody, you're going to start reproducing. And I can tell this church is producing some disciples. Hello, somebody. From 3 to where you are today. Hello, son, that's some disciples. Because Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Watch this. Listen to me. And y'all going to see what I'm talking about. Watch this. Y'all want to see why the church is failing today? Look at how we come here. Another word for disciple is student. Go look it up. A synonym for disciple is student. Learner, follower. And you wonder why we don't have disciples in church. You wonder why we're not growing. Look at how we come. Some of us don't even come to learn. You come for an emotional experience. You have a zeal of God, but not according unto knowledge. You being ignorant of God's righteousness, have gone about to establish your own righteousness and have not submitted yourself unto the righteousness of God. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Look at how we come to church. If our children went to school the way we come to church, they would fail. If we don't even bring the Bible. Let your child go to school without the textbook, paper, or pen, pencil. They gonna fail. And look at how we come here. We won't even bring the Bible. Don't bring paper. Don't bring pencil. Don't get mad at me. I hope I make you mad enough to bring your Bible tomorrow night. Hope I make you mad enough to bring paper and pencil. Some folks just lie and act like they know the Bible so good. As soon as you say turn to Romans 8, that's a good one. What does it say then? Act like they just got it in their heart. You don't know all that. And really, all of us in here need to repent. Including me, we all need to repent. Can I show you why we need to repent? When we went to school, first grade, we got different books. We mastered those books. We went to second grade. We got different books. Math, science, history, different books. We mastered those books. We went to the next level. Third grade, different books. Mastered those books. Math, science, English. Mastered all them books. Went to the third grade, math, different books. Fourth grade, different set of books. Fifth grade, different set of books. Sixth grade, different set of books. Seventh grade, different set of books. Eighth grade, different set of books. Ninth grade, different set of books. Tenth grade, different set of books. 11th grade, thicker books.
12th grade, thicker books, different set of books. College had to pay for the books. Pay for the books. Freshman year, different books, thick books. Sophomore year, different books, paid for the books. Different books, different books. Christianity, same book. Same book. Book don't change. You still can't find Genesis 1 and 1. Same book. Same book. You ought to know more than this book. You've been saved too long to be talking about, ain't it somewhere in the Bible where it's saved? You ought to know. Making up scriptures. You know, the Bible say don't hang your dirty laundry at it. Bible don't say that. Your grandmama told you that. You know, the Bible say you make one step, he make two. The Bible don't say that. We need to repent. We ought to know this book. Y'all watching Scandal on Thursday, y'all Kerry Washington? When y'all look at Scandal, when y'all go home and watch these actors, I want y'all to know y'all looking at millionaires. They live good, they got nice homes, they got nice cars, they got good money. Do you know why? Because they know how to follow a script. They all blessed because they know how to follow a script. Victor Newman knows how to follow. Eric Braeden knows how to follow a script. And he followed the script so well, you don't see Eric Braeden, you see Victor Newman. Y'all pray for Nikki Newman. She's going through right now. You know, watch this. You can't spell scripture without script. And you know what God said? How much more will my people be blessed if they'll just follow their script? Hello? And so, the second evidence of a healthy church is consistent spiritual growth. But then number three, write this down. The third evidence of a healthy church is compelling spiritual vitality. Compelling spiritual vitality. It says they were walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. In other words, this church was alive. There was a spiritual dynamic at work in the life of this church. It was alive. And certain characteristics identify a dynamic church. A dynamic church walks by faith because they know without faith it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that he is. A dynamic church fully relies on God. That's frog. Fully rely on God. That's frog. Fully rely on God. And when you fully rely on God, you can get over some stuff. Hello, on somebody. When you fully rely on God, you can get over being lied on. You can get over being talked about. You can get over being criticized. You can get over a bad divorce. Hello, on somebody. When you fully rely on God, you can get over it. Look at your neighbor and say, get over it. But a frog didn't start out a frog. He started out a tadpole. He had to grow into a frog. And when he was a tadpole, he used to wallow in that mess. But then when he grew up into a frog, he could get over some mess. Hello, somebody. A healthy church is committed to praying. Because if you don't pray, you will become prey. Y'all missed that. If you don't pray, you will become prey. Because the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's why, church, we have to pray. Because we have an enemy. The devil.
devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Hello, somebody. You've got to pray or you will become prey. That's why some of y'all can't say amen, because some stuff is eating you up right now. You have become prey because of a lack of prayer. Hello, somebody. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. And one reason why we have a powerless church, look at prayer meeting. Hello, somebody. You ain't got to pray. We got to be alive.
They say you can tell a good man by looking at his woman. Now, that ain't always true. Some women just mean for no reason at all. But that's what they, you know, they say you can tell a good man by looking at his woman. If she happy, that says something about him. See, the glory of woman is her hair. So if her hair look good, she look good. That's why you women spend so much money on your hair. Y'all go through that long process. In there for hours. Because the glory of woman is her. And the glory of man is his woman. That's why we don't mind paying the money for y'all to get your hair done. So if his woman look good, he looks good. Now, if his woman in here crying and going on, he going to say, baby, come on now. Folk going to think I've done something to you. They going to think I'm not good to you. Put a smile on your face. Stop crying. Hello. Now, the glory of Christ is the church. And you know what? How we look is keeping a lot of folk from being saved. Because we look and act like he ain't good to us. Gotta beg y'all to praise God. Y'all don't praise him unless we tell you to. Somebody ought to clap your hands. Come on, put your hands together. Stand up. Turn around 3 times. Bark like a dog. Sit down. Big Mama said, I didn't need nobody to make me get up there. Big Mama said, I woke up this morning with my mind. What was it, Mama? Staying on Jesus. I'm walking and talking with my mind. And if he's good to you, it ought to be written all over your face. You don't have to say a word. The smile for me. Woo! Better than any word I ever heard. Said to Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Well, to have a compelling spiritual vitality. But then the fourth evidence of a healthy church, write this down real fast, is consistent numerical growth. Consistent numerical growth. Verse 31 says, and were multiplied. A healthy church will experience consistent numerical growth. Now watch this. Not numbers for numbers' sake, but numbers because numbers represent people, and people matter to God. You see, a healthy church will be about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. A healthy church will be about changing lives, and as a result, we'll see consistent numerical growth. Now, there are some churches that are reaching people but not seeing numerical growth. Areas of declining population. But for many of us, if we be real, that's not our case. We're just not doing what Jesus said do. He said in Luke 14:23, go into the hedges and the highways and compel men to come that my house may be filled. We're not doing that. He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations. See, you ought to be maturing to the point where you can teach. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end. But listen to our prayers. We're telling him to go. Some prayers, I just want to interrupt. Who you talking to? They said, Lord, go down to the nursing home. Lord, go. Touch center boys and girls right now, Lord. Go to the jailhouse, Lord. Go. Move, Jesus, move. Who you talking to? You don't talk to him like that. You don't give him orders. You don't give him orders. Where in the Bible did they tell God to go? He told you to go. But you too lazy to go. And y'all listen to me. Something wrong with a church that invests more money in its building than it does people. And something wrong with a church that does more inside than we do outside. When you look at Jesus, he only did two miracles inside the temple. Man with a withered hand, he healed him in the temple. Woman, a man with an unclean spirit, he healed him in the temple. The rest of the miracles was done outside. The rest of the miracles was done outside. Something wrong with us because we're doing more inside than we're doing outside. He didn't feed 5,000 in the fellowship hall of the church. He fed them on the hillside. I wish I had a witness in here. The woman with the issue of blood didn't touch him in the hallway of the temple. Hello, somebody. He was headed to Jairus' house. Something wrong with us. Matter of fact, can I remind you what we are according to government? We are a non-profit organization. And that's one reason why Uncle Sam is cracking down on the church, because they see we ain't profiting nobody. We profiting ourselves. We acting like we a bank. And that's why they're trying to start taxing the churches. We don't exist for profit. We exist to help people, to profit people in the community. Can I show y'all something? Come here, Pastor. Come here, Pastor. Come right here, Pastor. The church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. You follow me? Christ is the head of the body. This is the body of Christ. Watch this. The only job of the body is to carry out the orders of the head. Yeah. 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 Orange Chapel's only purpose, the church's one and only purpose, is to just to carry out the orders of the head. Every member is to find the orders of the head. These are members. Wiggle them. Make the members move. Make the members move. You know why they praise them? Because the head told them to praise them. Make the members move. Make them walk. Stop. Yeah, stop. Come back up here. Now watch this. Watch this. I sound like Eddie Long. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Hear me. You see that brokenness down there, don't you? The head sees the brokenness. He sees the brokenness in the community. He sees the brokenness in the city. But watch this. The head has to work through a body to pick up that brokenness. Command your body to deal with that brokenness.
His head is giving orders and his members is dealing with the brokenness. Is picking up the brokenness. Is picking up the broken pieces. Hello, somebody. For the glory of the head. Now Christ got the brokenness. He got the broken people. He has the broken mothers. He has the broken fathers. He has the broken sons. The broken daughters. They're in his hand now because his members were about moving and following the orders of the head.
Thanks, Pastor. That's our only job. I play football. I got clothes. And see, that let y'all know right there that we aren't perfect. Because we lying every time we say we're closing. We ain't closing. That's a lie. We sick. See? Y'all pray for me. Don't talk about me. Help me get up from that. How I? Watch this. I played football with McGuire, and somebody got hit. And when they got hit hard, they said, I can't move my arm. I can't move my arm. Oh! What happened? What happened, man? I can't move my arm. What happened? He got dislocated. The head sent an order, and the arm didn't move. I can't move my arm. Did we take the guy to the hospital? No. I'm like, ain't they going to take him to the hospital? No. We're going to fix his arm. I saw them fix his arm. You know what they did? They popped it back in the socket. With a hit. Bam. Ah! It started working again. Bailey, what you're saying, Christ has been giving us orders, but many of us haven't been moving because we've been dislocated. And so God will send a storm to pop you back in the socket. He'll send, hello somebody, a tragedy to pop you back in socket. In the year King Uzziah died, pow, I saw the Lord high and lifted up at his train. That's the reason why we're having this revival. Somebody has been dislocated. Then lastly, as I close. Y'all forgive me for that one. It's just in us to say that. I guess we're trying to give y'all hope. Then, the fifth evidence of a healthy church is a consuming God focus. Look at the text. It says they were walking in the fear of God. They were walking in the fear of God. Now that word fear of God means, make a note of this, it means being afraid to offend God in any way. We don't want to do nothing over here that's going to offend God. Consuming God focus. It's where the members honor God in their daily lives. They honor God in their walk. They honor God in their talk. They honor God in their conduct. Just like a pastor's anniversary. In your past anniversary, everything you do is in honor of that past. You give in honor of him. Everything you do, trying to make him happy, trying to keep him happy. We thank God for you, Pastor. We love you, Pastor. We present gifts, Pastor. Want him to stay with us. He's the honoree. Something like that whole service, you focused on him, seeing if he's smiling over there. Every Sunday, God is the honoree. Amen. Do you know honor is where we get the word honorarium from? Which means if you honor God, It will reflect in the honorarium you give him. If you honor him, it will reflect in the honorarium you give him. That's why he said in Malachi 1, he says, a son honors his father and mother. He said, if I'm a father, where's my honor? He said, y'all keep bringing me a sick offering. He said, you wouldn't give that to your government. Why are you giving that to your God? You just don't give your government anything. Why are you giving your God anything? He said, try offering them sick animals to your government. Because what they were doing, they were looking among their flock, trying to find the smallest and the sickliest animal, and they would give that one to the Lord. And God said, what y'all doing is giving me a sick offering. That ain't honor. Y'all dishonoring me in what you giving me. And y'all know we do it every time it comes time for offering. We look through our flock. And our flock has name. We flip past Ben. I see you, Ben. Thomas Jefferson. All right, baby. Grant, okay. They go Lincoln. I see you, Lincoln. Where George at? Where George? Some of y'all stopped at the store and got George. Y'all got some change. I need to break this. I ain't putting this whole 20 in now. Give me a stick of gum. I need George. There go George. And you know you shouldn't be giving George. That's why you crumble him up. You don't put him in that flat. You crumble him up. You don't want nobody to see you putting George in the plate. The finance committee would have been out 30 minutes ago, but they had to unfold George. They had to get George straightened out. You claim you honor the Lord. Look at the honorarium you gave him. $2. That's what you put in that plate. $2. I can tell you what you put in. $2. Ain't that a peace sign? You wonder why you ain't got no peace. I got clothes. $2. Let your woman ask you for some money. Give her $2. I want to see this. Give a black woman $2. Now, I want to see this. Record it for me. Record it. Give a white woman $2. Hello, sir. What is this? Billy Ray? You just ended that relationship with them $2. Trifling. Look, I got a witness, don't I? Wave your hand, sister. Yeah, amen. He's looking right there. You're right, bro. You're right. It'll come out of her with $2. And she know how much you got because she went through your wallet while you were sleeping. Hello? But a healthy church has a consuming God focus. A healthy church is focused on God. In order to be a good photographer, it's not really hard. Just make sure what you're trying to take a picture of is in the box. If they're in the box, it'll come out right. But if they're not in the box, that picture ain't going, it's not going to come out right. Billy, what are you saying? I'm telling you that if Jesus is in the box, it will come out right. Yes, on chapel, we have to make sure that he is in the box. Yeah, if we want our church to come out right, he gotta be in that box. Yeah.
oil. If we want our families to come out right, he's got to be in the box. Do you hear me? If we want our children to come out right, yes, Lord, Jesus has to be in the box. Do you hear me? Oh, yeah. I'm closing now, but I'm reminded of when our churches are packed out. Yeah, our churches are packed out at funerals. Yeah, because people go to the funeral to see the one who died. Yeah, they pack it out for the one who died. Everybody's there for one person only, and that is the one who died. Do you hear me? They get dressed the day of the funeral with the one who died on their mind. They drive to the church house focused on one person only, and that's the one who died. When they come in, they're in here with haters and liars and backstabbers and babies, mamas, but they're not worried about them. They came to pay their respects to the one who died. Do you hear me? They're not afraid to get emotional over the one who died. They'll scream over the one who died. They'll shout over the one who died. Don't care who's looking, because you don't know like I know what I've been through with the one who died. You don't know what the one who died did for me. The one who died put food on my table. The one who died put clothes on my back. The one who died put shoes on my feet. The one who died held my hand through the storm. The one who died stood by me. It got on. Why can't we be like that every time we come to church? We ought to be focused on the one who died. And our coming is even more special, because he didn't just die. He died for me. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Excuse me if I get emotional over the one who died. Excuse me if I start to roar. Excuse me if I start to jump. Excuse me if I start to cry. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. He put food on my table. He put clothes on my back. He put shoes on my feet. He walked with me. He talked with me. Tell me that I'm his own, and the job we share as we tarry there. Ain't God all right? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's all about the one who died. Say, neighbor, excuse me, but when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul, my soul, crying out, ain't going all right. Not only did it die, but I early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in the palm of his hand. Ain't going all right. Tell your neighbor, it's all about the one who died, but I can't leave him dead. He got up Sunday morning, but y'all remember, after the funeral, they carried the one who died, and they put him in a hearse. Some folk go home, but if the one who died really meant something to you, you'll go all the way. You'll go all the way to the grave with him. You'll line up behind the one who died. That's where the funeral director will get out the car, and he'll walk back and say, if you're going with the one who died, cut your lights on. If you're with the one who died, cut your lights on. If you're going all the way with the one who died, cut your lights on. I've come to tell you, if you're going with Jesus, come on. I say, cut your lights on. Look at your neighbor. I say, cut your lights on. Your family need to see your light on. Your children need to see your light on. Your schoolmates need to see your light on. Your co-workers need to see your light on. And when you got your light on, folks will get out your way. When you got your light on, some folks will salute you. When you got your light on, you can run stop signs. You can run stop lights. It's not because of you. It's because of who you are. Can I get in this? Say, neighbor, I'm blessed. Not because of me, but because of who I'm with. I'm good. I'm going with Jesus. Is there anybody here that can testify? I'm going with Jesus. My mind is made up. No turning back. The world behind me. The cross before me. No. I said no. No turning back. Ain't it all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah.
I'm going with Jesus. See, yeah. See, yeah. I'm going with you. I'm going with you. Ooh. Ooh. We want to be a healthy church. People ought to be able to come here, find peace. They ought to be able to find peace. They ought to be able to grow spiritually. Have a compelling spiritual vitality. And then we're going to see consistent numerical growth. Because we have a God focus. For God I live. For God, I'll die. Yeah. Hallelujah. Ask the person next to you without playing. Ask that person next to you. Ask them, are you saved? Tell them to answer the question. If they say no, tell them, let's go up there together. I'll walk with you. You don't have to go alone. Come on. Maybe you don't have a church home. This church would love to have you. This church would love to have you. And even at this church, there are other pastors here that would love to have you. Just get in the church. It's only one church. One Lord. One Savior. Come on, just the way you are. Come on, just the way you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Give him glory for what he's done in your life story. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. For what he's done in your life story. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For what you've done in my life story. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life story. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. For what you've done in my life story. Lord, I love. Give him glory.
Yeah.
Give him glory. For what you've done in my life.
Come on, stand on your feet.
Give him glory.
Hands up. Hands up.
Give him glory. Give him glory. For what you've done in my life story. Give him glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For what you've done in my life story. Thank you, Jesus. For what you've done in my life story. Thank you, Jesus. For what you've done. Oh, you've been good. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm out of sight, what do you know, what you've done? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give him glory. Give him glory.
Give it to him.
For what you've done in my life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give him glory, Lord, I love, Lord,
I love you, Jesus,
for what you've done, Lord, Lord, I love,
one more time, give him glory,
give him glory,
give it to him. Give it to him. Give it to him. Give him the glory.
For what you've done. Give him glory.
For what you've done.
For what you've done in my life story. For what you've done.
Said I never missed a meal.
I gotta give you the glory.
You've been good to me. Brought me a long way for what you've done. Kept a roof over my head. Kept me in my right mind.
You didn't leave me. You didn't leave me. What you done? Watched over my children. Blessed my family. Kept my brother. Took care of my sister. What you done? Kept gas in my car. Kept money in my pocket. Kept my lights on. Kept my water running. But what you done? Gave me a bed to sleep in, accounts to settle on, food on my table. Oh.
What you done? Give me glory for what you done. Oh, my. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, he's been good to me. He's been good. Oh, he's been so good. Oh, he's been good.
Say, neighbor, if you only knew, you'll be shouting too. If you only knew how he kept me. If you only knew how he held me. If you only knew how he rocked me in the midnight hour. If you only knew. What he's done in my life story. Everybody got a story. Everybody got a story. He's been good to me. I've seen the lightning flash. I heard the thunder roar. I felt some breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus telling me fight on. Telling me fight on. He promised never to leave me. He promised never to leave me. Long as I got King Jesus. Long as I got King Jesus. I don't need nobody else. Cause ain't anybody here that can testify. Said he's all you need. Said he's all you need. Said he's all you need. Said he's all you need.
Oh, 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 yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 For what you've done. My life story. I'm gonna give you the glory. Glory. For what you've done. For what you've done. I'm gonna give you the glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Father. Our Father, thank you for allowing us to come to your house one more time. We want to get closer with you. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. We want that fire back. Lord, we want it back. We've been dislocated. Lord, we thank you for this revival. We even thank you for storms that have popped us back into socket. Thank you for this pastor. Thank you for these pastors. Thank you for all of these churches that have gathered under the sound of my voice. Lord, help us to be the church you're calling for. A church where there's a climate of peace. Oh God, for you want us to be unified so people will believe in your son, Jesus Christ. God, we pray, oh God, that we can get rid of some bitterness and rage and jealousy and forgive one another. Be kind to one another. We want a climate of peace. And then, Father, we want to grow spiritually and we repent right now. We got the point tonight. In school, we got different books, but Lord, your book has not changed. Lord, we want to get deeper in your word. And tonight, we're making a commitment to get deeper. Rooted in your word. And then, oh God, we want to put our gifts to use in the ministry.
We don't want to just sit down and be bench warmers. We want to be active. Oh God, help us right now to have a compelling spiritual vitality. We want to be on fire for you. Walk in the comfort of your Holy Spirit. And then Lord, we want to go into the hedges and highways and compel men to come, that your house may be filled. We understand that we're your body, and our only job is to carry out the orders of you. And Father, we ask that you would forgive us for not following your orders. Lord, but tonight we're going to do better. Even as husbands, we're going to follow your orders and love our wives like you love the church. As wives, we're going to submit to our husbands as unto the Lord. Oh God, we're going to follow your orders. Even when it comes to praise, we're going to make a joyful noise. We're going to follow your orders. We're going to go and teach all nations. We're going to follow your orders. And then, Lord, we keep our focus on you every Sunday, every day of our life. You are the honoree. We want to honor you in our conduct, in our walk, in our talk, in our words, even in how we relate to people. Father, we thank you right now. It's all about the one who died. Thank you for Jesus. And now, Lord, we live for him. In him we live, we move, and we have our beings. Father, help us now. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's nothing else to be said on tonight. Amen. We hope to see you again on tomorrow night. Go tell your